said. These are things that can help you to live a healthier life. The Lord has just revealed me lately, brother, let's pass around whatever is done, that the new companies out there, on their greedy for money, they are modifying, genetically modifying the things that we eat so that it can alter the way that our brain think. If you are eating, you used to eat, say, half a pound in food for lunch and half a pound for dinner. The way they are mixing things today, it will alter the way that your brain works, and it will cause you to eat again even after filled up. 1 hour later, you're hungry again. Man, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm hungry. I just finished eating. It's because the food that you ate has been generically modified. Now, that in itself is a sin. And I'm going to show you, not today, another day. The Bible says that we should not cross two seeds together. We should not plant two seeds together. So when you take half of a seed and half of another seed and put them together to germinate, to bring something else, it is a sin. Because if God didn't do like that, it's because he didn't want it done like that. And now science is proving that people who does that kind of stuff causes the brain to be altered, and you ate one whole turkey and half an hour later you're hungry again. It's because of the chemicals and the stuff they have put in our food causes us to be that hungry. And guess what? This is why there is an epidemic of obesity all over this country, and now it's getting overseas. There's a company called Monsanto. It's the greatest packing company in the world. And they are the number one genetically modifying company in the world. Crops that would take 6 months to come up is now coming up in 3 months. While we were in Suriname, some of the folks that came to Christ, they used to quick chickens. The chickens no longer go under a hen. They are hatched in ovens. 21 day, the egg pops up and you have the little hens. And the workers will go and burn the beak of the hens. And then immediately they go to a little cage with a very, very little mesh around it, so rodents don't get in. And they got feed 24/7. And the food that they are eating are genetically modified. So within 28 days, that little hen weighs 5 pounds. And then they are slaughtered and sold to the fast food chains. We have people in our congregation in Suriname who used to do this. And then you're wondering why people are dying with cancer. You wonder why people are so propense to obesity. Why they keep eating and eating and eating. It's just like it's an endless hunger that they have. It's because of the modified things that they have put in place in our foods. So today, I want to take you through a few things. You have the page I gave you? Keep your healing and all that God gave you. Tell neighbor, we're going to keep our healing. And all that God has given us. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 12, starting on verse 43, there's a very interesting statement. And it is important that you understand this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man or a woman, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. I'm going to be back on this scripture on Sunday. But I want to prepare this stage for the coming Sunday. Now, put there, please, New Living Translation. Watch this. When an evil spirit, the King James called unclean, the New Living Translation called evil spirit, because they're both the same, leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest, but find none. Why? Demons don't like to be exposed to the elements of nature. They need a body to reside. What? Demons don't like to be exposed to the elements of nature. They like to be comfy. They want a body. Now, the Message Bible makes it a little crazier, but still interesting. Watch this. When a defiling evil spirit is expelled from someone, it drifts along through the desert looking for an oasis. Some unsuspecting soul, it can be devil. When it doesn't find anyone, get out of a body, it's going to be drifting. It's going to be looking for another place to jump in. It's on the desert, but it does not like the heat of the desert because it reminds them of hell where they're destined to. And they know that. So they go to the next verse, 44. It says, I'll go back to my old haunt. On return, it finds the person spotlessly clean, but vacant. Why is that person spotlessly clean? Because the blood of Jesus washes away the damage caused by such a spirit. But when somebody gets free of a demonic oppression, whatever that may be, food addiction, television addiction, computer addiction, pornographic magazine addiction, whatever it is, when you're set free, the Bible says you're free indeed. Isn't that right? Nevertheless, the house must be filled in on a daily basis. Why? Because you're still living in this stinking body. And Romans 8, 5 through 9 says that the flesh profits nothing. The flesh does not like the things of God. The flesh is enmity against the things of God. So when a oppressing spirit leaves a body, it will be looking for a place to reside. And if it doesn't find, it don't want to be out there on the heat. It can't cause damage. It has to take something to work with. You see with me, right? Goes back to the house and find the house vacant. What happened in verse 45 is intriguing. It then runs out and rounds up seven other spirits, more evil than itself, and they all move in, whooping it up. That person ends up far worse off than if it had never got cleaned up in the first place. That's what this generation is like. You may think you have cleaned out the junk from your lives and gotten ready for God, but you weren't hospitable to my kingdom message. And now, all the devils are moving back in. So, whoa, preacher, wait a minute, what are you saying here? I'm not saying anything. The word is saying. This past week, 60% of the members, the people that were on Sunday morning service, got a whopping deliverance. Amen. While we are reciting the final prayer of deliverance, breaking curses, I literally saw dark clouds moving from the back of people. I could tell on my finger each one of them. But the Lord said, it's not for you to do that. That's not your business. That's not your work. That's not what I called you for. I even said, Lord, why can't I? He said, no. I don't want them to come to you. I want them to come to me. You're right. Thank you for the warning. But 60% of the folks that were here Sunday morning had dark shadows that were hovering over them being lifted up. Now, let's keep the things this way. Why? Because when that oppressing spirit leaves, it's going to be looking for some unsuspecting soul to jump upon. And if it can't find one, it will come back. You may ask, so how do I keep them from coming back? Give me, please, Romans 12. Let's start verse 2. Man, what kind of healing service is this? It's the best you could ever have. Amen. Don't become so well adjusted to what? That you fit in it. Ouch. How do I keep the demons from coming back home, which they think is a home? Actually, they think it's a hunt. This is how the devil look at you, as a hunt. So let's keep him out. He's going to go out, find no place. I'm going to go back and give more diabetes so they will never again come out of medicine. How dare they try to catch me out? I'll go back, give them even double high blood pressure. Even double bad cholesterol. I'll teach them a lesson. Why would the devil do that? Because that's what he does. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And how dare you catch me out of your body? Paul said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. When I fix my attention on God, things start changing. Like what? He says, you'll be changed from the inside out. Are we together here? He goes on to say, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. This is how you keep demons out. They were cast. You're going to make sure that you're not going to think like the people out there are thinking. You're going to make sure that you're not going to be well adjusted to your culture. There were some folks that used to come here and told one of my children, your father is a radical. Thank you, I am. I am a radical. And if you're calling me a radical because you're living together with your girlfriend, yes, I am a radical, and I'll be even more radical. Plain and simple. That's called fornication. Everybody out there is doing it. I don't care about everybody out there. I'm not going to be so well adjusted to the culture because everybody has a boyfriend and a girlfriend. I'm going to have a boyfriend and a girlfriend. Absolutely not. Plain and simple. Another one told one of my children, your father's old-fashioned. He's old school. No, I'm Bible school. I'm Bible fashion. I'm sticking with God and his word. I can't adjust to the culture because we don't belong here. This is not who we are. And this is why my portion is better than theirs. Because we are on the winning side. The paper that I give you says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last estate of that man is worse than the first. Tell your neighbor, I don't want the last state. I will stick with the first. Satan is out there to do three things in order to take from you what God has given you. Say with me, I will return to my house. I will steal, kill, and destroy. I will devour you. You and your blessings. Say no.
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 And no.
And no.
You can't have my blessings. You can't have my healing. You can't have my body. You cannot have anything God has given me. Now, Jesus tells you in Revelation 2:25 a very simple word. How many times people read through Revelation? In my entire life as a human being, not even as a preacher, I have never, ever, 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 ever heard one sermon on Revelation 2:25. But if Jesus tells you and I to hold fast to what you have until he comes, it means somebody can steal it from you. Is that correct? The idea of today's teaching is to remind you and make you aware that God has blessed you with a lot. Move to the next page. Hold fast to what you have. You're not going to keep your healing. You're not going to keep your blessings. Neither all the good things God has given you. If you just lie down on your back and do nothing. And let the devil take it away. Are we still together here? Don't let the devil take away everything God has blessed you with. This is why the Bible encourages us in Revelation 2:25, hold fast to what you already have. Say with me, I'm holding fast to what God gave me. I'm holding fast to my blessings. I'm holding fast to my healing. In the name of Jesus. Devil can't have it. Let's continue. Let's read it together now. One, two, three. That's why in our church services, we get our people to confess the word. We get the people to repeat God's word. We get the people to agree with God's word and hold fast to the blessings God has given to them. I just gave you a little story here. Imagine if I came home one day and a band of criminals and thieves were sitting in my debt free home. And they look straight at me and say, well, the gang and I decided that this is our new home. Would I just reply, I thought it was mine? And then look at Marcia and the children and say, well, hon, we have to get out. Marcia would immediately say, no, we're not going anywhere. This is my house. Do you believe I would gather my children and just leave because the thieves say it's theirs? Absolutely not. We would fight them tooth and nail. Are you together with me? In the same way, the Lord is admonishing you today. Hold fast to what you already have. Say amen.
Amen.
And I want you to declare with me right now. My house is paid in full.
My house is paid in full.
And I'm holding on to it.
And
the devil cannot have it.
In the name of Jesus.
My car is paid in full. And the devil cannot have it. In the name of Jesus. I owe no money to anyone. And the devil can point at me. I have money in the bank. And the devil can take it away from me. Because I'm not covetous. I'm not stingy. I'm contributing to the kingdom of God. I'm evangelizing the world. I am blessed beyond measure. In the name of Jesus. Hold fast to what you got. So you say, well, preacher, I don't understand. What do I have? Brother Harry, can you put over there Ephesians chapter 3? Let's start in there before I go to the next page. This is what God wants you to hold fast. That's already yours. It's a right that you have. Ephesians 3, let's start in verse 18. Watch this. Paul is praying that you may be able to comprehend. That's you. With all the saints. What's the width and the length and the depth and the height? Next verse. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with. So the fullness of God is yours. Tell your neighbor, the fullness of God is yours. And we're going to hold into it. Now listen to verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, tell your neighbor, we've got the exceedingly abundant blessings from God.
We are blessed
above all that we ask. We are blessed more than what we can think, according to the power that works at us. And we are holding to it. Give me the other verse, brother. To him be the glory. Where? Amen. You are blessed more than what you can think or ask. Amen. And we are holding into it. Say amen.
Amen.
You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You got to know the things that you're entitled to. And you've got to hold onto it. It doesn't matter how tough life may get. So I gave you a few things for you to confess throughout the rest of this month. The first thing you're supposed to be confessing is, I am of God. Say, I am of God. And I'm holding fast to it. How is that important? If you are of God, the devil cannot have you. Are we together here? He knows better than this. Now, a lot of people do not understand what that means, and they are running like fraidy cats because they are hearing things around the house. Ugh. But I'm hearing things on the house. Take authority of it. You are of God. And when the devil understands that you know that you are of God, guess what? He'll put his tail between his leg and move. Let me tell you something. Brother, give me the New King James, Mark 11:23. Watch this. Something that you have read. I have read this scripture over and over with you. Nobody ever caught this. And I may do this Sunday morning because I want you to get this. If you can grasp the concept, your life will change. Mark 11:23. Let's read it. For assuredly I say to you, whoever... I know what you're saying. No, you don't. Here's the concept. If you have a mountain on your way, follow me here. If you have a mountain on your way, you also got the word. And what is the word? Move! Not getting it. If you got a mountain on your way today, you also have the word. What is the word? Move. Jesus says here, I say to you, whoever says, isn't that the word says? Which means you have to speak, right? So if there's a move as a mountain on your way, you've got a solution. You got a word. And the word is, be thou removed or move. That's all. Move out of the way. And if you speak that word without any doubt in your heart, guess what? It will move. It will move. And he says that it will be done. And he will have whatever he says. This past week, I made a mistake. We were on the other side of town, and the spirit of hunger came upon us. And we decided to go to a junkie place called Golden Corral. Y'all know that I don't like to eat outside my home. Because I don't know which part of their bodies they scratched before they prepared that food. As soon, I was very selective on what I chose to eat. As soon the food sat on my intestine, my intestine complained, you fool, what you're doing here? And that food was so blessed that my bowels didn't work for 7 days. It just dawned on me yesterday, what in the world is wrong with me? I had to tell my intestine, move! Half an hour later, I was pooping. You've got a problem. You've got a mountain. You've got a word. Move! And they start moving again. You know, folks, the problem is we don't take God seriously. That's the only thing here. We do not take God seriously. And I'm going to give you a recipe for success right now. Quit the junk. And here's a proof that you do not have an idol. If you walk out of that door this morning and say, you know what, I'm not turning that TV on for 7 weeks. And you are able to do without any complaint from your flesh, guess what? You do not have another God. Well, but I got to know the news. Once you got to know the one who knows the news, you're in better shape. What if we have a thunderstorm coming? What if a tsunami coming? If you know the one who knows the news, you will know that it says, no evil shall come nigh thy dwelling. So why do I need somebody to tell me that today is going to be rain and you have sun out there? And they said last week would be all sunny and to rain the whole week. Let's get real here. We are not taking God serious. And the reason for this is we have another God. That could be the television. That could be the computer. Here he goes again. So what I'm going to do on my free time? Read the Bible. What? I already read the Bible. Read more. I read more. Read more yet? I'm tired of reading the Bible. It's not you're tired. You stinking flesh is tired. Let me tell you when you're supposed to stop reading the Bible. On the day that you have every verse of the Bible memorized on your head. Then you're halfway done. And so once I memorize the whole Bible, I don't have to read it anymore. No, I just have to quote it now on a daily basis. That's too much. But the place where you're supposed to go and live, called heaven, is church every day, 24/7. You got a problem with that? Yes. Then you may as well go to the other side. I think there's going to be on hell, it's going to be some TV. So while you're being burned up, you can watch it over and over again. Folks, our big problem is that we are not taking God serious. We're not taking his word serious. You are of God. You got that? You are of God. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Put the scripture up there, brother. You are of God. And that is found in 1 John 4:4. No, I mean, John 4:4. 1 John 4:4, right? Yeah. You are of God, little children. So you belong to God. And if you get that straight in your head, that you belong to God, the devil cannot mess with you. And you won't be messing with him because you know that he's right around. Are you with me here? You are of God. There's no way around this. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It's not on your scripture there. Say something very interesting. If you have a hard time believing that you are of God, you better listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, get it in your system. Jesus, your friend, is within you. The Spirit of God is within you, leading you through the path in every decision that you make. He is leading you through. You are of God. Are you with me here? Well, I don't think that I have the Spirit of God. I don't know. I don't feel like. You better watch what you're saying. The same book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, warns you, watch out. Same chapter on verse 9 gives you another warning. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, did you get a point? Do not doubt of whom you are. Do not doubt to whom you belong. Put it in your head, I am of God. End of story. I have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within me. Because Romans 8:14 said that those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. My preacher, I make so many mistakes. Get your act together. The devil doesn't come and take your hand and forces you to go to a buffet and get a 2-pound cake and put in a plate, and then he takes the spoon and brings it to your mouth. Come on. Let's face it. Back to 1 John 4:4, and I'm going to stop here today. We continue next week. Back to John 4:4, when you understand that you are of God, there's something that comes along with being of God. What is it? You will overcome them. Who is the them? Every evil spirit out there, you will overcome them because you are of God. Every sinful desire, every passion, you will overcome them because you are of God. Are you sure? Yeah. Because He who is in you is a little smaller. He is greater than he who is in the world. When you teach yourself, I am of God, I have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within me, automatically you are empowered to defeat them. Them who? The devil. His demons. The habits. And all the garbage out there. Why? Because the one within you is greater than the one who is in the world. Hold fast to this confession. Hold fast to this. This is yours. Don't let the devil take it away from you. Say amen. We will continue next week. Reach out to somebody and say, we are holding fast to what is ours. We're not going to let it go. Great is he that is in us than anything else out there. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's bless the Lord with an offering.